Welcome to the Empowered Podcast with Deanna Merlino, an all-encompassing personal development show where I will be sharing with you just how to transform yourself into the best version of you, both inside and out. From wellness, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and manifestation, I'll be showing you exactly how to live your best life. I will be keeping it as real and raw as it gets. So get ready to peel back the layers and really transform yourself under the surface. Because nothing is better than finding your purpose and living this life as your true, authentic self. Welcome back, Empowered Fam. I am so excited today because I have a beautiful, amazing, just so knowledgeable guest here with us today. So I actually have Lahana Vigliano with us. And Lahana, thank you for being here. This is an interview that we've been trying to make happen for a hot minute. So thank you for bearing with me. And with that, I want to give you the floor. Just tell us all about who you are, your magic, and how it all started for you and how it's going.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. Hey, better late than never. So I am so excited to finally record this with you. Yes. Okay. So where do I start? I'm Lahana Vigliano. So I am the founder of New V True Wellness. So we're a virtual wellness practice based in Austin, Texas, but we help women all over the US with hormonal issues, digestion issues, and honestly, just longevity, helping people be proactive instead of reactive about their health. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. So what got me into this journey is I was pre-med, really was taught for a pill for every ill. That's plain and simple. That's just the education. And that didn't work for me. I just felt like there was so much more that we could be doing instead of being like, oh, someone has diabetes. Here's metformin. Like, why do they have diabetes? There's usually a reason for that. And so that's really not what is being taught. So I switched from pre-med over to nutrition. And then I also was a young mom. So I had my son at 17 and my daughter, we got married and then I had my daughter maybe at 22, but even just having my son so young and I was smack dab into still going to school, in my undergrad. And I think when you have kids, your mom, you know, your mind changes, your world changes. Yeah. And I remember thinking, how can I prevent my kids from being another statistic? Obviously, I grew up in the smack dab standard American diet, microwave, Little Debbie cakes, like just that was my childhood.
Yeah.
And now we can see the repercussions of that. And so I was like, how can I protect my kids? And so I think both what I was being taught and being a young mom kind of made me change what I was doing, my career. And I was like the weird 5-year-old that was like, oh, I want to be a doctor. So like, I have always known I wanted to be in this space. But now I actually am graduating and becoming a doctor in nutrition though. So I graduate this summer. So I'm finishing up my doctorate right now.
Congrats on that.
Yes. So funny how life just works sometimes. And I still achieved my doctorate degree, but just in a different way. So that's kind of what brought me into nutrition, where we are at now with New V True. Being a mom, I'm deep into the like teenage years and preteen years. So no more little babies, no more, but it's been such a fun journey in that sense too. That's a little bit about me.
Wow. That's so amazing and so important and so powerful. And also you look stunning. So there's something to all of this nutrition. Okay. Even if that's where people come in looking for help, you're crushing the game. So we love that. That is just all so powerful and so important. And I think, the next thing that I want to talk, you know what, actually, and this isn't super nutrition related, but this is something that I love to ask when I have guests on who are moms, is how did you find that juggle of motherhood and entrepreneurship and growing this business that you have now?
No one knows what they're doing. That's so true. Like, we're all just winging it. And honestly, I truly believe everyone is winging it, even when you're at the utmost success and you have a 7-figure, 8-figure, whatever it is, like, honestly, you're still winging it because there's always a next level that you've never been to. Yeah. So looking back, even looking further back, I was going to say being 17, being a mom, working full-time, going to school full-time, I've always juggled a lot. So now being 32-year-old me, I don't know. I'm just like, oh, this is so second nature. It's easy peasy. Doctorate, working, running a business, being a mom. I don't know. To me, I'm just like, it's normal. But people always laugh. But I look back, I'm like, even when I was 17, how could I juggle all this? This is wild.
Yeah.
I swear. I'm like thinking like as a child, I'm like, what did my parents ingrain in me? Like what was happening? Honestly, I swear I started playing. I played Sims when I was younger. I started playing Sims again with my kids when I was on school break because it was something we did together. And if no one knows what Sims is, it's a computer game and you take care of a family and it's the best thing ever. And as I was playing it with my kids, like maybe last year, I was like, this is how I learned how to delegate. This is how I learned, I swear, because I'm like taking care of this whole family. And I'm like, okay, you cook the breakfast, you get the kids to school. And I swear that is like just the earliest memory I can have of where I started to learn how to delegate, just taking care of multiple people and keeping them alive. And I know it's so funny, but that's the only thing I can think of where I learned to take care of all the things.
That may be the best thing I've ever heard.
Play Sims.
Wow. You know what? It did the trick, right? Who cares? Did the trick. Wow. Okay. Well, I love that. If you had one piece of advice, it's so funny because I'm that type of way too, where like this is it. I'm just going to figure it out, right? Like yeah. Whatever comes up, however things are crazy. We were literally just talking about changing poopy diapers on like calls prior to this, right? Like whatever comes up. But I do know that I have a lot of clients and people who are listeners who sometimes just really feel stuck in that, I can't do it because, like using, you know, like all the stuff. So what would be your biggest advice for someone who, you know that they desire more, but they just feel stuck in their circumstances? What would that advice be for them?
I mean, and I think too, to give you a more of a grasp of something you can do today, not just play Sims, it's just habit stacking. And so understanding what you want to do. And so whether it's like, what do you want to do as a career? Obviously, if you're a mom, like, what are some other things you want to do? I love reading and I make time for that. And really understanding what that is. And then also habit stacking to where you can, but know that it's possible. Like it's possible to achieve whatever you want to achieve. I don't care about the finances. This is a girl. I was on food stamps. I was on Medicaid. I was a young mom. Great. I always had he's my boyfriend at the time, but my husband, we've been together obviously like 15 years now at this point. But so I did have some support in that regard, but I was a struggle bus and I knew that I wanted to be something big. I wanted to change lives. I wanted to serve people. And so I still continued going to school. And yes, I had my son. Yes, I was in the bookstore 3 days post labor and picking up my books for the semester.
Oh my gosh.
But I had such a vision of what I wanted to do. I just made it happen. So when I had younger kids, yeah, I would wake them up, get them going, you know, feed them, get them set up. Then I was doing work and then I was playing with them. Then there was lunch and then I was doing work. There was some late nights for sure. But yeah, it's just, I think when you want something so bad enough, like no excuse is going to hold you back regardless. Mm-hmm. So do you want it bad enough? And two, what can you do to move forward? And so in 2015, one of my first things was starting a podcast. And so that was one thing I could do during nap time. And that I knew that was just like one little seed that I was planting for my future business. Mm-hmm. So starting small, but doing something to kind of start moving you in the right direction.
Yeah, that was so good. So spot on. And I feel like that's the best advice you can give is just that habit stacking, like just do what you can today. Even if it's less than like this, I think that holds people back sometimes too, is they're like, I need to do all these things. And because they can't do all of those things at one time, then it's just like, it gets pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. Like just start small, start somewhere and just, it will build up. So loved that. 100%. Okay. Well, shifting a little bit then, because it actually rolls into each other perfectly. Let's talk about nutrition and the importance of it for energy specifically, especially as entrepreneurs and moms and all the things. It doesn't even matter what the title is. We are all doing so much. And I know myself as coming from a personal training background and just all of these things, let's talk about that and how key of a role that plays in that.
Yes. Yeah, I would say being a business owner, I think something that I've really learned is that when I don't feel well, well, nothing in the world is doing well. I can't serve my people. I can't serve my patients, my employees, my family. I can't serve anyone on any level when I'm not well, especially when you're tired. And so I would say the biggest thing, which is a surprise to a lot of people, biggest thing we see in our practice for women who just don't have enough energy is honestly, I'm obviously don't have the exact statistic, but I'm very confident in saying like 98% of women that are coming to us are not eating enough. And so even just getting like at a bird's eye view, looking at everything, we're just simply not eating. And we are the classic analogy. It's kind of cliche, but like a car, you put gas in the car for your car to run. Yet we are here just drinking caffeine, not eating till late lunch and dinner. And we expect to have amazing energy the next day when we're barely fueling our body because food is fuel. And so I would say that's hands down the biggest thing I see, like skipping meals, under eating. Now we're lowering our metabolism. As a personal trainer, you probably have a sense of that. And your body is shifting, you know, trying to use that fuel that you do give to keep you alive, like get your heart pumping, your lungs still moving, your brain still working. So again, we are just like at the very bottom of the barrel surviving, and we're not thriving with energy. There's also when that happens of not eating enough, we're also more likely to have nutrient deficiencies. Yeah. And so things like, I think B12 is probably the first thing people think of with energy, but all the nutrients play a role in energy production. Even CoQ10, even if we want to get really nitty gritty of like Krebs cycle, high school biology, CoQ10 is needed for the electron transport chain, which is needed for ATP, which is literally cellular energy. So any nutrient plays a role in that. And so we see just overall lack of fuel, now not having enough nutrients to run the body. And then also working out. I know a lot of women who are entrepreneurs and they love working out, whether it's running or strength training, but now we're creating higher demand, but we're still not fueling it correctly. So now we're even getting worse. And that's when we start seeing lack of energy, brain fog, constipation, thyroid issues, weight gain. You know, our body's just like in freak out mode, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing I see. So I can say, just eat, please.
please. I truly cannot, like, it's still, so I've shifted out of personal training. And one of the biggest thing, and even in coaching, I still see it, even though I've shifted out of that space. The biggest thing when it comes up of, oh, well, I've plateaued. I can't lose weight. I don't feel good. All these things. And the first thing I ask is, how much are you eating? And it literally is mind-boggling to me. I'm not joking. I have a client like a week ago who was like, well, I've been eating 1,000 calories for like several years now. And I was like,
I'm dying.
I don't know how you're alive. Okay. Quite frankly, like what do you mean? That's what you've been living off of for years on end. Like
I'm about to say, y'all, like a toddler needs 1100, 1200, a toddler. And again, yes, exactly. Like we are grown ass women who are making babies, making humans, but yet we are eating a toddler or less than a toddler, and we expect to have amazing hormones and amazing metabolism. I'm like, that's not gonna work.
Like, of course you're exhausted because your body is literally just trying to survive. So it can't give you all of this extra energy to do the fun things when it's literally focused on survival.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So let's talk about some simple changes that people can do that is going to help benefit not even just their energy, but also the hormones, because especially as, I mean, for everyone, obviously, but even as women, like hormone imbalances are so prevalent. And so really, what are some simple things that can be done?
Yeah. I always start off with looking at your plate and can you say, can I grow this or can I kill this? And if you can say yes to either of those questions, usually you're on the right track of real wholesome foods. Now, if you have to say no, it usually has to make it in a lab. That's usually more of a processed food. But there are better processed foods,
right.
Like, you know, healthier crackers that use whole food ingredients, all that. But still, at the end of the day, freshest is best. How much produce are you buying and eating? How much animal proteins are you buying and eating? Eggs, the things that, again, we can truly grow it or kill it, that's going to be real food. And so even trying to limit more, like even healthier processed foods, totally fine to have, but making sure that your plate is majority real food, because I definitely know, even I'm so glad we live in a world where we have access to that. Like, we have almond flour tortillas and all, amazing, obsessed. But I definitely can see people who now their diet is just healthy processed food and not enough of the nutrient dense proteins and produce. Mm-hmm. And so I like to look at my plate and say, do I have my protein, which we are huge animal protein lovers over here. So do I have my eggs or my animal protein? Do I have leafy greens? Do I have vegetables? Do I have like a starchy veg, like potatoes or legumes or grains? I will say everyone is so bio individual. So we have patients who can do grains, patients who can't, patients who can do dairy, patients who can't, same with beans. So everyone is different. So there is definitely no one size fits all by any means. And that's just kind of where testing comes into play to be able to understand like what that is for you. But I don't think anyone can go wrong with, again, just shifting to, can I grow it or can I kill it? And that just being the majority of what you're eating. Versus, you know, just processed food or skipping meals and whatnot.
Oh, that's another one. The skipping meals. That one, literally, I could like bonk my head off the wall every time I would hear that. I'm like, if we stopped doing that, that would make a massive change.
Oh, yeah. Intermittent fasting's all the rage, which I will say the studies on it is great. Like, there's definitely good studies on it. But I always question, because again, most women coming to us, they're normal is very little. And so when we're like, no, let's actually fuel your body, even them eating three meals a day, they're like, I can't eat that much. So how do you expect to shorten your time frame of eating and now eat more? So I always say, let's start with just getting your body to a place where you can eat the right amount of food that you need to be eating. And then if you want to then play around with time, like time restricted eating, like eating 8 hours in the day versus whatever, then that's fine. And also just assessing, how's your stress? How is your hormones? Like, where are all these things? So we don't put extra stress on our body. But again, going back to the very beginning, most women are having trouble eating enough anyways. Mm-hmm. So why are we so obsessed with the timing? Again, there's great studies. I get that. But the biggest thing is, are we fueling our bodies enough? Like, plain simple, period.
Yeah. I think too, with fasting, and I don't have a ton of knowledge with it in the sense of like, I don't intentionally ever practice it. My thing though, is that from what I have seen is like most of the studies around fasting have been done with men. B, if you're going to fast, well, kind of going back to what you just said, the other meals though, like what do your other meals look like? Cause if you're just having coffee and then you had like a donut and then you're gonna, you know, like not eat. And then you're like, what is the quality of the other food? And then also I think for me, most importantly, just like in my space is the, what is the mindset behind it? Because if you're gonna fast, because like, you know what, you did your research, you think it sounds like it'd be good for you, you try it out, it feels great. That's one thing. But I think a lot of people will just quote unquote fast because they're like, I'm going to skip a meal so I can lower my calories, or I'm going to skip a meal. So, like the mindset behind it is not going about it from the right perspective, in my opinion.
Exactly. No, I fully support everything you just said.
Okay. I have a question. So, obviously, everyone is so different. In your opinion, is there any, and it could, the answer could be no, is there one thing that you think everyone should be doing, whether that be a specific vitamin, whether that be a specific food group, whether that be a specific, you know, like, is there one thing that like universally or like humans need this?
Oh, let's ruffle some feathers. I'm just kidding. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I would technically say animal proteins. And I don't like ruffling feathers because there's people that are like so hardcore on like being vegan. Sorry if you're vegan.
No, I'm not.
That for, okay.
I could be from a like an emotional standpoint, but
right.
it's just not happening.
That's probably, yes, the religious side and the like emotional side would be the hardest thing that you can't really fight against because it's like deep into your beliefs or like how you feel. But yeah. In a health perspective, yes, 100%. That is what I think most people need and also under eat. And I also know that there's so many decades of fear mongering behind it.
Yeah.
And it's just never a complete picture too, because when we look at like all the documentaries, oh good Lord, the amount of documentaries that are out there that are very anti that. There's so many little intricacies that we don't think about, like, okay, yeah, you're taking this study, but it's from like a factory farmed animal and it's not right. a good quality animal. Mm-hmm. There's just so many little things like that where it's like, it's hard to really like study this. But I do find that it's access to some nutrients that we can only be found in animals. Iron is an example. Like, yes, there's non-heme iron in plants, but that is very different and not as bioavailable as heme iron found from animals. So, some people who go vegan, I would say cancer is probably the only subsection of people that I understand if there needs to be some restriction, but just I'm talking about in general health. Yeah, we need to see that. And when people do go vegan, they might initially feel like, oh, this is like amazing. I feel the best I ever have. And sometimes that's just simply because they're eating more produce. And so also for me to say this, I'm on the spectrum of there's carnivore and then there's vegan. I am in the middle. I think Same. That there's beautifulness yeah. in both worlds. And I think our industry has become so like, we got to be so hardcore in one thing when the answer lies within blending between the two.
I think that's the answer to life.
Yes. Yes. Because even in studies that show meat eaters, those meat eaters are taking are also people that probably smoke, because we're thinking like the Western meat eaters, like they don't exercise. There's just so many little co-founding
factors. The meat and potato kind.
Yes, exactly. But they're not eating enough produce and fruits. And so that's why I'm saying it's hard to mm-hmm. sometimes use studies because there's way too many other variables in the equation. But like I said, there's just certain nutrients that we just simply can't get. Vitamin A, you can get beta carotene, but the percentage is so extremely low. Only a couple percent will actually turn into preformed vitamin A. So it's just little things like that. And I would just, yeah, I think stick with animal proteins.
Love it. Thank you for answering that so clearly. It just popped into my head. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ask it. Okay. So kind of circling back a little bit, you were actually starting to talk about stress and stuff with hormones. So I would love to talk about how chronic stress, which so many people experience, is ruining hormones, specifically with women, which also leads to killing productivity and energy and your overall health. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like being obviously in nutrition, food is everything, but that is one part of the picture. And so that is one thing I fell in love with in the functional holistic realm of wellness is that it's not just one thing. It's not just diet. It's not just exercise, stress, environment, sleep, like all of these play a healthy you. And so I would say stress, especially in the entrepreneurial women who are trying to get after their dreams, is a huge issue. And I will fully hold my hands up and say, this is the one thing that I constantly have to work on. Diet, no worries. Exercise, no worries. Stress, oh my gosh, this is my Achilles heel. So, stress diverts your brain from one talking to your thyroid. So our thyroid is huge in our metabolism. It also impacts our ovulation and like I said, our metabolism. It also lowers our immune system, stress. So this, obviously when you're stressed, I'm sure a lot of us have felt, oh, I'm getting sick. I'm stressed. I'm not sleeping enough, all that. But also within our gut, when we lower our immune system, our gut bacteria is more likely to become imbalanced. Mm. And then that can increase certain enzymes called beta-glucuronidase that can reabsorb toxins and hormones in the gut. They've already processed through the liver. They're trying to leave the body now through our stool, but it can actually be reabsorbed through that.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
Yes. And so that can just be estrogen dominance can sometimes play a role, just overburning the liver because, again, it's already processed. Now it's got to get reprocessed. And this is all just from stress lowering our immune system to lowering our ability to keep our bacteria in check. And then it's, so it's, that's like the piece of the puzzle. It's a downstream effect.
Yeah.
Obviously the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal. So that's two hypothalamus pituitary, two parts of our brain, and our adrenals is what makes stress hormone. And so it's out there in this world called quote unquote adrenal fatigue. No, that is not the correct medical term. Yes. If you say that to your doctor, they will look at you like you have a third eye. It's technically in research called hypothalamus pituitary adrenal dysfunction, HPA dysfunction. And so when we chronically are stressed, eventually, I just like to think about it, it's like your brain and adrenals, like the connection of communication starts getting a little hazy. I like to just kind of say your adrenals are like, I'm so tired of being stressed out all the time. I'm going on vacation. And so it, in a sense, it kind of does. And so then we are going to suffer from like having like lower cortisol levels. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to be tired all the time. We're not going to have that energy. And then one thing I like to also tell people about stress is that your body is when you are running from a tiger or someone's breaking into your home, that is obviously very stressful. When you are under eating, which is a stressor, that's also very stressful. But your body, both of those scenarios, even though under eating and someone breaking into your house is a very different, your body, it's the same because
it's responding the exact same way. Yes,
it's the same physiological response. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to especially our women hormones, our estrogen or progesterone, when our body senses that this is a stressful world out here, it's going to impact ovulation. And ovulation is like your Super Bowl, like that. It's not your period. It's actually your ovulation that is the main priority. And even if you don't want to get pregnant and you don't want to have a baby, we still have to ovulate each month. So when we now mess up ovulation, now we're going to mess up our period. But it's almost like your body is saying, why do I ovulate? Why could I potentially bring in a baby when, even if you don't want a baby, but why could I potentially bring in a baby when this world is very stressful? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a survival mechanism. Mm-hmm. So it is wild to see how mm-hmm. stress impacts gut health and our sex hormones and honestly everything. And so yeah. It is one of those things we have to get under control just as much as figuring out what to put on your plate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's such a common thing that I really wanted to talk about that, especially because, and like you said too, even, yeah, okay. So it really is playing a role in like that women's cycle. And even if you don't want to get pregnant, the fact that it is causing that response and that poor response in your body is affecting so many other things. Yeah. And like that in itself should be enough for you to want to be like, okay, something's got to give here. And yeah. I mean, being overstressed has literally been tied to pretty much everything under the sun as far as diseases. So it's just like all tied together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because now I know, I think in January I was flying. I get a little anxious but I was flying to Scottsdale to speak at an event. And then obviously public speaking also makes me nervous.
Oh yeah.
Not podcasts for some weird reason, but public speaking does. And so I was like on the way home and I was on the plane and I'm like, I'm totally going to delay ovulation. There's so much stress that's happening from traveling and speaking. And I totally delayed a week. So it was a longer cycle than I normally had, but I knew it was coming. Cause I'm like, my body's no way thinking like, it's really safe to,
you know what? This sounds like a really great time to, yeah, no, not even a little bit.
So totally got delayed on my period. And then my period just thrown off, but yeah, it's really cool. You start understanding that.
We're just going to get real candid. When I have anything public related is like the fear for me. It is like the thing. Love doing it. It is like the best high for me when I do conquer it. But literally up until I get on stage or wherever, I am literally thinking to myself like a mantra on repeat. Do not shit yourself. Do not shit yourself. Do not going to poop ourselves on this stage in front of all these people. Okay, that's my physiological response when it comes to
100%. 100%. And you do. After you're done, it's just like, I'm so proud of myself.
Oh, yeah. So good. This.
But I'm also just like, what? You know, it's going to be fine. And honestly, cool. If you did shit your pants or if you did puke, I mean, who cares? Like no one's going to, well, maybe some people might remember it and be like, oh my God, I remember that girl. But besides, who cares? Who cares?
Remember that girl who shit herself on stage?
But at the end of the day, who on their deathbed will they be thinking that? No. So no. Who really cares?
No, I mean, and you know, it doesn't get much worse than that. So at least it would always be up from there. I'm the girl who would be like, boom. You know what? I have to do it again so that we can get that behind us.
Exactly. Maybe take Imodium. I'm just kidding.
Yes. No, I mean, I don't do that. But in that scenario, it might be not a terrible idea. Okay. So another thing that you actually... Well, first, before we move on to that, let's talk about some tips and tricks that you have specifically to help manage that stress that so many people just naturally deal with.
Yes. So I think the remedy to distress, which is Newman's favorite answer, is actually going to be lifestyle changes. Because cool, you can throw ashwagandha and herbs at it to help your body respond better. But I think we're always trying to look for that pill for an ill. When in reality, the answer is changing it, making changes. And that can even be things like my job is really stressful. And I, no matter how much I meditate or how much I journal or box breathe or whatever, it's still stressful. We may have to change it. We may have to change jobs. And again, these, not saying that these are easy decisions, but at the end of the day, if you have a toxic boss or you're in a toxic relationship in the home, until you really change that, your stress will always be high, no matter how many band-aids of herbs or journaling you'll do. So that's knowing your external stressors, what truly is stressing you out, changing that, knowing your internal stressors. So that's like the body from within. Are you under eating? What are you eating? You know, do you not have enough nutrients? Do you have deficiencies? How can we replete those? So I always think of stressors internally and then external, because stressors aren't just external. It's also internal stuff. But honestly, it's also little things like adding more fun into your life. What do you love? Like literally schedule it in. You like kayaking? Put it in your schedule like it's a doctor's appointment. Do you like going on walks? Put it a couple of 15-minute walks throughout your day. Like I think it's just that, especially entrepreneurial women who are climbing up the corporate ladder, we're so go, go, go. But I'm like, no, like schedule freaking fun into your day. I did mention some things. Journaling is fantastic. I feel like it's one of the things that are so not sexy. And it's even me, I was like, what can journaling actually do? Incredible. It wasn't until I started doing that I'm like, this is like therapy in a book. This is amazing. Meditating, prayer, obviously therapy is great too. Box breathing. I'm also a big fan of just adjusting expectations to my season of life. And so if you are a mom and you are having young kids, adjust your expectations. For me, being deep into my doctorate last year, I had to adjust my expectation in business of we're just staying afloat. I'm not growing this year. It's not a growth year. We are just maintaining. And every year outside of last year has always been a growth year. So that was very uncomfortable for me to adjust that expectation. And I did it and we maintained. But I think that helped reduce the stress of, again, like trying to be like, it is a growth year. And just in reality, it wasn't, you know?
I think that's so good. All of those things were amazing. That was actually the perfect list. I'm literally not even going to add anything to it. That was so good. But I think it's so powerful that you just talked about that expectation. And it's if you had tried to push that or have, you know, like, oh, well, every other year was, but this one wasn't. So we're failing. Or what more can I do to prove my worth to this? Like, there's so many ways that we can just create the snowball effect with our health and our stress levels and our happiness and our joy and all of this. So I think like that, all of those things, amazing. Yes, perfect. But that one I think is so, so, so powerful and something we all need to do.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, I don't know, I just feel like sometimes, and this is if you need to give yourself a social media break, we are so caught up in the comparison trap and how fast people are growing or what they're doing. And it definitely gets, I know sometimes if I'm scrolling too much and I'm consuming too much, I will totally get down and like, why are they growing? Why am I struggling? Why are they growing? And in all regard, everyone's just I try to be authentic, honestly, like, especially in like Instagram stories, I try to share when things are not doing well, when things are doing well. But for the most part, I would say majority, it's a highlight reel. And even I know a few people, I'd be like, yeah, we are selling out of this thing. And I know them and they actually aren't, but they're trying to create that like fake, you know, zhuzh to help sell it. And so I get it from like a business marketing perspective, but I'm like, it's so misleading because again, we look at that as consumers. I'm like, wow, they're killing it. People are wanting their program so bad and they're not.
Mm-hmm. And then it almost fuels like the shame cycle almost like, well, where am I wrong? I think too, because energetics is the biggest thing that I do is like, the energy behind that, I don't want to call it a lie, but that, you know, like faking it to try and present this buzz, that's only going to nip you in the bud. Like that's not, I get it, right? But I would rather me personally, and something that I teach with my clients is I would rather launch something or have whatever and it flop and me learn from it, me do whether 100%. It's more, you know, market research or like, okay, what about this interested you? But what about this? Like what had to be different for you to have signed up? Like shift, just pivot and then relaunch. Because I don't think there's any, even this, the uber successful, you know, 7-8 figure entrepreneurs, there is not one of them who will tell you that there wasn't a time when something flopped, but it's about, okay, where do I shift? And I'm with you. I am like, I will show you all the good and I will show you all the bad. And you know what? That's why people love you. And that's why people love me. And that's like, that's that authenticity is what's going to actually create long-term sustainable success within your business.
100%. I'm like an Enneagram 8 too. So like authenticity is everything to me. And I can smell it from a mile away if someone's not being authentic, but I'm obsessed. I'm like, show me you're weird. Like I hate small talk. I'm like, let's get deep down and dirty. Like what, like just be,
I'm an eight as well.
That is why I can usually tell. And we just understand each other. Cause we're like, let's get into it. I want to know.
Literally. I always talk with my girlfriends that like are, you know, my people. And I'm like, okay, like a quick second for catch up and then like, let's deep dive. Like I'm here for dive.
Yes. I'm with you.
I love that. Well, that makes sense. Cause we have very similar energy. So I am not even remotely surprised. Love that for us. Okay. Well, kind of rolling into, something that I know is so important and you kind of tapped on a little bit before, I want to talk about sleep, but also tying it into the entrepreneurship. I feel like a lot of times there's that hustle culture that, and I feel like that's changing. I will say I feel the shift. There is a lot of awareness coming up around it, but that whole sleep when you're dead, I am going to, you know, drive it home. And even if I'm you know, I'm sleeping for 2 hours, I'll catch up down the road. That is not helping anyone, obviously. So I would love to talk about just all of that sleep related and the whole hustle culture and
100%. I am also seeing that shift as well, which I am seeing the shift of slowing down and making sourdough bread. My like Achilles heel was slowing down was getting chickens and also making like sourdough bread. So that did help me shift to slow down. So I am seeing the shift, which I'm very proud of, that we're getting out of this hustle, 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 and that we are prioritizing things like sleep, which shout out to Oura Ring, absolutely like obsessed with the Oura Ring and like the insights it gives you with sleep. But it's crucial in every regard, even weight loss. I've seen someone who eats perfect, exercises perfectly, not too much, perfect amount, what they're doing, everything. And sleep was like the only factor. Stress was low, but sleep was really the only factor. And she just could not lose weight for the life of her. And the moment she started sleeping enough, easy. And so everything from hormones to our immune function, like I mentioned, we definitely know if we don't get enough sleep, we tend to get sick. Maintaining a healthy weight and energy. One night of bad sleep does cause you to be more insulin resistant the next day. And so that is, I also hate that for the moms with young kids, because I feel you, because you're in that season of life where it's just that season of life, but there is an end of the tunnel. But that is why when we don't get enough sleep, we're also, our hunger hormones are thrown off. So you'll eat more in general the next day. And usually it's not the best choices. And I definitely feel that if I don't sleep, I want
chocolate. The comfort foods.
Which is not bad. I love dark chocolate. But yes, you tend to eat more and that's like kind of all you want. Mm-hmm. It also makes us increase our stress hormone as well. That's one of those internal stressors. So then again, that those sex hormones, those ovulation will be turned off, more inflammation, brain fog. I mean, our sleep is when our brain literally dumps and detoxes throughout the night. So it just impacts the way we feel and also just it can be a root cause for a lot of chronic illness as well.
That is literally my husband to a T. So he was working overnight, 12-hour shifts, rotating. So it was even worse. It was never a consistent schedule for 6 years. And it was, he works out twice a day. We eat super clean. And it just wasn't budging. And like we knew, because he would literally work overnight, get home at 6 a.m. But our son's up 8 in the morning. Good luck sleeping with the toddler running around. So he's sleeping 2-3 hours a night for years on end. And he finally just switched to days in January. But it was like, it was a decision of like, you have no choice. You have to for your health. I'm like, you are going to have a heart attack when you're like 40.
Yeah.
Like it, so I mean, I fully attest to it. And as soon as immediately when he shifted one, his lights came back on. He was him again, but also his weight shifted like immediately. Like you could see it so quick. Like it's just a massive shift.
Yeah, I know. And I wish there was like, cause we do need night workers, like, especially like in hospitals. And like, there are times where we need night workers. Yeah. And it sucks because there is no remedy for that. So yes, you can obviously get off work and get the amount of sleep, but your circadian rhythm is still completely off from just like our natural human form. And so it still increases risks of cancer. And there's still studies showing that. And so it's like, okay, what can I do? And it's like, you just do the best you can, you know, eat really good. Yes. Try to get movement in, try to still get the amount of sleep, but you're still in the population of higher risk for issues. And it just, I wish there was like a great little thing that I could recommend for that, because there are professions that we literally need it. Mm-hmm. And it just sucks. It just sucks that there isn't anything more to recommend.
I feel like there are people though, who are, I don't want to say built for it, but they're built for it. Like there are some people who, and again, it could just be a season of life. Like I bartended for 8 years. I had no problems staying up until 6 a.m. Like I wouldn't be getting home till 6 a.m, but I didn't have a kid. So I was sleeping 8 hours on the other end. Right. So I think it's also just like, does it work for you or does it not? Are you in a place in your life where it fits with your lifestyle or does it not? Because then try your best maybe to find another option where you can. But yeah, I totally agree. There is that necessity for night workers and it's just tough that that's, you know, some people get the poopy end of the stick on that one.
I love that saying, especially as we talk about like gut health and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So talking all about sleep, what are your recommendations? How do we create that sleep schedule, that sleep health that we all need? What is your recommendations on that?
Yeah, I definitely think quality of sleep will always be things throughout the day too. So yes, there's like, you know, setting a wind down time. Consistency is key always. Once you do that, your body will naturally start getting tired at the time that you need it to. So if your wind down is starting at 7 and you want to go to bed at 9, it will eventually get used to that the more we do it. There's wearing the blue blockers if you are on a screen late or if you're like me and love to watch shows before bed. I know that probably is like technically unhealthy, but I just wear my blue blockers. And honestly, it's the thing that makes me like get out of work mode and reading a book too. But and I do like that when I need like a tech or screen break, but I just love a good like just show that makes me go into this fantasy world and then I can fall asleep. And then there's eating good protein, enough carbs at night to help produce our serotonin to melatonin, which is our sleepy hormone. So there's things that throughout the day that we need to do, but I also think getting outside in the morning when the sun is coming out, realigning our circadian rhythm, that is going to help you sleep that night. Mm-hmm. So it's not just right before bed, like your little bath or your little prayer and meditation or lavender tea. Those are all great. You can do, but don't forget all the other things throughout the day. So I know too, people who tend to wake up at night and they're hungry, or maybe they're not hungry. They're just waking up 2 to 3 a.m. That can be a sign of blood sugar dysregulation. And that can be from your habits of nutrition throughout the day. So then that's impacting sleep. So I actually have the Oura Ring. So I did find I have a really high sleep score last night. And one of the things
I saw your story.
I know. And it got me excited. The only thing I was like, okay, what did I do? Because Aura is like, Aura Ring literally on the app is like, what did you do? Your sleep score is higher. And I'm like, what did I do? I'm like, ooh, I haven't done it in a while, but I did sauna at 5 p.m. And I think it just put me, obviously not when you're saunaing because your heart rate is up. But afterwards, I'm like, I was feeling very relaxed. And so I was like, that's probably why. And so, yeah, everyone's little, like what makes them relax is very different. But like the healthy habits throughout the day is very key to just good health or good sleep in general.
Yeah. Saunas are so great too for just like longevity. Like it's so good for your heart and all, like your circulation system, all these things. So yeah, I would not be remotely surprised if that's what helped you last night. Well, that's really cool. Yeah.
I can only do it when it's hair wash day. That's the thing. I wash my hair like twice a week, once or twice a week. And so it sucks because sometimes when I'm like, shoot, it's hair wash day. Shoot, I don't have time to sauna. So then I'm like, well, then I have to wait for the next time. And then sometimes it's weeks before I actually do it. And I hate it because I do love it. And I'm not a sweater at all, actually. So I need the sauna. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that just can't sweat well, which I'm so jealous for people who can like be drenched at like a workout. I'm like, I know that's like not their favorite because they're like, oh, then I have to shower. And I'm like, no, it's so good for detoxification. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's so good. I like the like instant gratification of I'm like, oh, something happened here.
Yes.
Right. Like that's why I love it for me.
Yes. No, people would be like, oh, you just worked out. And I like look normal. I'm like, yes, I know. I don't sweat. It's not good.
Okay. Well, this was amazing. Is there anything else that is coming to you or you just feel like you have to share? Is there anything? This is your last moment to just spill the beans.
I don't think so. I know we covered a lot, like stress, sleep, all that. I would say, I guess the only thing is just making sure that you have a healthcare team that you trust, making sure you're being proactive instead of reactive, getting like functional medicine labs done because conventional is looking for disease, which is great and much, much needed, but we can't just stop there because just because you don't have a disease doesn't mean that there's nothing brewing underneath the surface because that is chronic illness. It can feel like, oh, we were so healthy and all of a sudden I had a heart attack, or I was so healthy, all of a sudden I got diagnosed with this. No, it didn't happen overnight. It happens over years. And so and that is before symptoms start. So we need to make sure that we're inward looking, doing stool testing, doing blood testing on a regular basis to make sure that we do have enough nutrients. Our gut microbiome is good. And so don't wait for symptoms to show. That's not too late. Don't worry. Like even if you have symptoms, you can always, there's always reversing it, but it's so much easier when you can catch it very, very early. So I'm pro testing, having a healthcare team in place that is serving you in every regard and not just doing the pill for an ill.
I have not heard the whole pill for an ill thing. Love that. You had so many good sayings that I've never heard of before that I love. But yes, I concur to all of that. And it's really nice to see that shift happening as well of really just going in that direction and getting ahead of the curve instead of, you know, trying to fix things once they're right in your face. So I'm really glad that shift is happening. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. I know that my listeners are going to absolutely love it. If you guys want to connect with Lahana, make sure that you check the show notes. Her website will be there. Her socials will be there. And if you need her services, please do not hesitate to reach out. Just thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your knowledge. And this has been an absolute blast.
Thanks, y'all. It was fun.
Okay, everyone, have a fantastic day. Have the best day, the best week. I love you. And I will see you next week on the Empowered with Deanna Merlino podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to find out more, you can follow me on Instagram at Empowered with Deanna and my personal page, Fit Deanna Lolita. You can also visit me on my website, which is DeannaMerlinoFit.com. Make sure that whatever platform you guys are listening on, please rate and subscribe. And this means so much to me. It's going to help get me out there to help so many other people. I'm so grateful that you're here with me on this journey of wellness and self-empowerment. I cannot promise that it will always be easy, but I do know that it will always be worth it. stick with me, and together let's start living as the version of us that we were meant to be. Because the world is waiting for your gifts, and you deserve to live the life of your wildest dreams and beyond. So friends, let's get empowered.